From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of a pre-recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with Ryszard Legutko, a prominent Polish and European statesman and distinguished philosopher, and the author of The Demon in Democracy: Totalitarian Temptations in Free Societies. Let's now join Hank Hanegraaff and Professor Legutko in their conversation.
One of the problems with leaders, both in government and in corporations, leaders in academia, they're not selected necessarily according to their competence anymore. It seems to me that they're now selected according to their identities. So identity politics has played a real role in dumbing down the leadership of major institutions throughout Western civilizations.
Yeah, again, this is a repetition or kind of a new version, another version of what we had in the communist times here in this part of the world where I come from. Namely, you have there was a quota system, and if your parents were peasants, you had more points and you had a better chance to get to a university or get a job when you came from intelligentsia. So the concept is not new, except that nowadays this identity thing is also rather suspect, because it's not really about identity. I mean, it's about politics, because it's not about women and men and whites and blacks. You may be a woman biologically, but politically you may be a wrong kind of woman. And then if you are a wrong kind of woman, you are as bad as if you are a wrong kind of man. And the feminists will hate you and will consider you a traitor to the feminist cause. So you are not in a better situation after all. So it's a kind of political, ideological selections. You want to have more people whose minds are working correctly, right? Politically correctly. And there is so much time and effort invested into reprogramming of people's minds that young people do not have time to learn at school, to study what they used to study, what they should study, things like disciplines like mathematics or history or literature or biology, because more and more of this nonsense is being pumped into curricula. And all this in order to reprogram their minds. On the one hand, you have this dumbing down phenomenon. It's all over the world, at least in the Western world, in Europe, in Australia, in Canada, in the United States, in Poland. And on the other hand, it's this indoctrination that you do not know mathematics, but you know the stuff about gender and about same-sex marriage and how racist your country is and how it hates homosexuals.
I want you to address the issue of multiculturalism. Multiculturalism is mandating one set of cultural values and saying that those cultural values must not be deemed inferior to another set of cultural values. So you have this multiculturalism encouraging identity politics, the politicalization, which is designed to change the very fabric of our society. So multiculturalism is actually, as you talk about in your book, a hoax that is created under the guise of liberal democracy. So multiculturalism, again, when we hear that word, it sounds positive, but it has a very damaging effect on civilization in terms of how it's actually being posited.
Yes, exactly, because it's not about the multi, it's not about many, it's about equality. It's, again, one of those revolutionary strategies to change and to restructure the society. Cultures, by definition, are not egalitarian. They are not equal. They are hierarchy. Every culture is based on a hierarchy. And usually there is some kind of spontaneous process of achieving some kind of a modus vivendi, a cooperation between communities who come from different traditions. It cannot be prescribed. It's very much spontaneous and depends on a lot of contingencies. There are societies such as an American society, which was predominantly European as far as the origin of the immigrants was. And there are countries like mine, which is more homogeneous. But in the past, it wasn't homogeneous. But the groups managed to establish a kind of modus vivendi. And it worked quite well for a couple of centuries. I think in the United States, too, it worked quite well for some time. And multiculturalism is an ideology, egalitarian ideology. So you have these multicultural politicians coming and say, no, we have to start from scratch. We have to rebuild it. Everybody is equal. And to make everybody equal, to make every identity equal, you have to perform a very drastic social engineering. If you say that all religions are equal, if you say it in a country which is predominantly Christian or Catholic, saying that all religions are equal and this equality has to be represented politically, then the first thing you do is you discriminate against the Christians because there are too many of them and they are too powerful. So you take all the things that they have, right? You fight against them, right? You attack them. You deprive them of the privileges and the rights they have in order to have equality. That creates, of course, a lot of conflict. It antagonizes the society. So as I said, I think the American society, of course, the American society had its own problems. There was the Civil War and all that, and that the states were different with different traditions, different ethnic groups. But somehow, my impression was also based on the knowledge that I have from books that it was kind of working more or less and things were getting better and better. And nowadays you have this multicultural project and they say that American society is a disaster and there has to be a huge bureaucratic apparatus that will set things right. And hence indoctrination, hence ideology, political pressure, and, well, you know about it better than I do.
Well, you know, one thing you know about better than I do is what happened in Hungary. This is a great example of political pressure because here in Hungary, as you write about in the book, you have a country that's condemned by the world at large, and that with rage and hatred, for suggesting, simply suggesting, that marriage ought to be between one man and one woman. It's stunning when you think about that. Here you have a country, an entire country, condemned by liberal democracies around the world for saying that marriage is between one man and one woman. We had this same thing in America, by the way, Richard. In America, we had a Supreme Court justice who said that anyone who denies marriage on a whole vast scale of possibilities and suggests that marriage ought to be only between a man and a woman does so out of hate and animus. So we have a condemnation against those who would go back to one of the most basic aspects of civilization in general, not just Western civilization, but civilization in general.
Yeah, it's Hungary, it's Poland too. Hungary, the problem was that they had the new constitution, and the constitution states that marriage is a union of one man and one woman. And yes, they were attacked viciously. Also in Europe, in the European Union, the deputies, the institutions were going berserk. And my country too is one of the villains. We also have the protection of marriage as a union of a man and a woman in the constitution. So that shows a lot of things. First, I think it proves my point about the mainstream, that mainstream is more and more homogeneous. Otherwise, the conservative parties in Western Europe should have protested, and they didn't protest. In fact, same-sex marriage was introduced in Britain, it was introduced by the Conservative Party, in France by the Socialists, and in Germany by Christian Democrats.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Professor Legutko. In The Demon in Democracy, Professor Richard Legutko explains how liberal democracy has tilted toward the same goals as communism, albeit without Soviet-style brutality. Having escaped the horrors of communism, Legutko understands just how critical it is that Western Christians become aware of the threats that lie buried within the systems we've long considered safe and learn to recognize the demon in democracy. To receive your copy of The Demon in Democracy, Totalitarian Temptations in Free Societies, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
equip.org.
Let's rejoin Bible Answer Man host Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Professor Richard Legutko, in their conversation.
Same-sex marriage was introduced in Britain by the Conservative Party, in France by the Socialists, and in Germany by Christian Democrats. So you can see the differences between the left and the right is fictitious nowadays. It's no longer there. So yes, it proves this. It also proves another thing, that the liberalism and pluralism is a sham now, because it's you are a pluralist if you do exactly what we tell you to do. If you do something else, you will be condemned. Well, if that is pluralism, I will have none of it. It's like a well-known advertisement of Model T, right? Ford, you can buy any color you want, provided it's black. So yes, that's what we have here in Europe.
So you have this ideological engine of communism, class struggle. And in a liberal democracy, the ideological leverage has been expanded to include some of the other things you were talking about a few moments ago, race and gender. In fact, you call it an ideological triad, class, race, and gender. And they've made this ideology the essence of their religion if you are a media pundit today. I mean, that's the essence of your religion.
Yeah, that is exactly the case. This triad occupies the entire mind. I mean, everything that the modern liberal democrat has intellectually at his disposal to interpret the world are those three concepts. And anything that happens, whether it's literature or art or business or politics, is being reduced to this. And this, of course, reminds me of the communist system, where also everything was reduced to this class struggle between the capitalists and the proletariat, from art to politics and economy. So it shows how impoverished the mind is and how helpless this mind is in the modern world, unable to describe what is going on and even unable to understand the arguments that are being articulated to him. He rejects them because he doesn't understand them. What he understands is only race, class, race, and gender. That's all he knows. The sacred words describing both the bad side, the devilish, the infernal side of modern society, and this paradise that is about to emerge once we do our revolution and achieve our end. So it is both, as I said, the diabolic and the angelic, right? The sacred and the profane. You pray to genders and race, but also condemn people who have it all wrong about race and gender. So it's a rather, I would say, deplorable spectacle. It makes me very, really sad when I watch the public space today in Europe, how impoverished the language and the mental space, and how small the mental space is, that you cannot really conduct a dialogue. You cannot exchange arguments because these arguments are not understood. They are rejected right at the outset without having them analyzed.
I want you to explain something that's very, very important. You talk about it in the book, that one of the highest values in the ideology of liberal democracy is equality. And you talk about the paradox there. Unravel that. What is the paradox of equality?
Well, the paradox of equality is that in order to have more equality, you have to use more power to secure this equality. People generally are unequal. That is, they may be equal before the law, they may be equal in some metaphysical sense, they were only equal before God, right? But in social life, they are not equal. I mean, they are those who rule, they are those who are being ruled, they are those who are intelligent, those who are not intelligent or less intelligent. They are great artists, they are mediocre artists. They are hardworking people, they are lazy people. I mean, there are all sorts of differences. And that, of course, makes human society interesting to observe how these differences, these inequalities interact. In some aspects, you may be inferior to somebody else. In other aspects, you may be superior, right? You are not a good writer, but you are a good carpenter, or things like that. I mean, this is just a trivial point, but I want to make it clear. Now, if you want to have equality, you have to use coercion. You have to use coercive measures to equalize people. There are institutions which are inherently asymmetric, like schools, right? Or education generally is asymmetric. What you have been observing in the States and what I've been observing here in Europe is that the government has been trying to equalize education. Now, the result is what we mentioned a while ago, is this dumbing down. So being obsessed with equality leads to the strengthening of bureaucracy and bureaucratic system, which wants to see to it that we are equal, although we are not, coercion. And but also equality is dangerous in the sense that it disrupts communities. Most of the communities are not based on equality, but inequality. If you make the church or a church too egalitarian, if you make the Catholic Church egalitarian, then you destroy the Catholic Church because it's not egalitarian as far as doctrine is concerned, structure, everything. Or family. Family is not an egalitarian institution. They are those who rule and they are those who are ruled. That's not always father, sometimes it's mother, sometimes it's grandmother. I mean, that's the variety of human experience. Families may be different in the power structure, if you will, another horrible expression, but the hierarchy, perhaps I'll use the word hierarchy, but it's a hierarchy of institutions, not an equal institution. So it's egalitarianism as a consistent program, strategy to equalize everything is extremely dangerous. I think it was Alexis de Tocqueville, right, when he visited the United States in early 1830s, and he was very much impressed by the new democratic society. But at the end of the book, he raised some doubts, and he was wondering whether that might not lead this obsession with equality, whether it might not lead sometime in the future to a new form of despotism, precisely because of the destruction of communities and of the necessity to build a huge bureaucratic structure to have equality in place, but also because it changes people's minds. If you do not have respect for something that is superior to you intellectually, spiritually, you will not go far in the process of education or process of improvement of your mind and your sensibility.
Those are fighting words to a lot of people. You mentioned the church, you've mentioned religion, you've mentioned moral conservatism, you've mentioned the family. Is it fair to say that all of those, the church, religion, moral conservatism, the family, are common enemies of both communism or socialism and liberal democracy?
Yes, I would say so. Conservatism, family, religion, from the very beginning was the enemy of communism. With liberalism, it's slightly different. But if you read Thomas Hobbes or John Locke, the founding fathers of liberalism, you do not see much respect for family. They do not attach an important role to family in the process of the building of a good society, of a well-ordered society. Also religion. Religion for liberals, they treated religion with suspicion. They were not anti-religion, but they wanted religion to be diluted, sort of lukewarm, and they were afraid of what they called religious zeal, right? They were afraid of religious zeal, so they thought that religion should be controlled by the state. That's the argument in John Locke, that yes, there is religious toleration, but the government should supervise whether in worship or in doctrine, in theology, this religious group or that religious group is not subverting the political order. And if it is subverting the political order, it should be eliminated or silenced.
Well, we've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Professor Richard Legutko. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you the book, The Demon in Democracy, Totalitarian Temptations in Free Societies by Richard Legutko. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.